Well, David Icke is a former professional soccer player, journalist, network anchorman with the BBC. He was the spokesman in the 1980s for the British Green Party and since 1990, a full-time investigator into who and what is really controlling the world. He is the author of at least 15 books, including Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster. And his latest book, Infinite Love, is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. On his never-ending quest for truth, he simply says the cutting edge just moved. Never before has a book explained with such clarity why physical reality is merely an illusion that only exists in our brain. David Icke with us for 2 hours on Coast to Coast. Hi, David. How are you?
Hello, George. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah, I'm not bad, actually. I like your show because it happens at a nice time. It's 9:15 in the morning here. Sun's up, and it's not in the middle of the night like so often.
Well, you are one of the most requested guests here on Coast to Coast, David, across the country in North America. So I'm glad you're on with us. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was starting to get some emails and messages from people who said, George, something's gone wrong with David's website. And I went to it, and it had this strange British intelligence, we've taken over his website logo. And I had my producer call you, David. What happened? What was it?
The site was hacked. When British intelligence take over something, they don't put a message up and tell you. They just do it. So it was hacked into, and that was good because it got us to increase the security even more. People have tried to bring the site down a few times over the years because what's beginning to happen is that what people like me and others have been saying all these years is coming, is now in people's face. It's happening by the day. And years ago, I said that there would be a window of time when all that was hidden would break the surface where it could be seen, because when all that's been manipulated behind the scenes moves to become physical reality, then there's a time when we can see it. And now there it is in front of our faces. And funnily enough, I'm just about to start filming on a mainstream television documentary, which is going to go out this year in Britain, which they've called David Icke, the Man Who Got It Right? Because a producer came to a talk I did in Ireland, in Belfast, years ago in the mid-90s, and started to see in more recent times that what was said there is now happening, and it's turning into a television documentary pointing out what was said is what is going on. So when you also have the things like Charlie Sheen coming out and using his fame and notoriety to put highly legitimate questions in the public arena, we're now starting to get a situation where those of us that, and it's sometimes it's felt, George, like banging your head against a wall and getting massive headache. It's now at the point where you can start to see we can make a real breakthrough here in terms of getting people to understand that the world is not just a little bit not like they thought it was, it's absolutely nothing like they thought it was.
Do you find that public opinion is beginning to sway as well, David, where maybe 4 or 5 years ago they accepted many things that were fed to them, handed to them, now they're beginning to question just about everything?
You know what I think, George? I was saying this to a journalist the other day. It's like a tinderbox out there, and that is consciously and subconsciously, increasingly vast, vast numbers of people instinctively are feeling that something's not right. They might not be able to articulate in detail what it is, but something's not right about the world. Something's not right about what's going on here. And the spark that will set that afire is the information to explain what is going on, and when people have access to it, suddenly what seemed to be a bewildering, complex, what's going on kind of world becomes perfectly understandable. Because to understand what is happening, you have to understand what those in power are trying to achieve. If you don't know that, then you have a coordinate missing that is fundamental to understanding. If you think that, and I'm sure there are still some people there out there who do suffer from terminal naivety and still believe that governments are there to somehow serve the people and do what's right by the country, then if you believe that, then you can look around the world and you can say things like, this government is just stupid. This government's incompetent. What's this government doing? This is crazy. When you realize that the goal is not to serve the people, it's not to serve the country, it is to serve an agenda for global centralization of power and control.
And greed.
Is happening in the world becomes genius, not stupidity, because the outcome is exactly what it's meant to achieve.
And when you said, David, that something's wrong, we can all feel it. I use the analogy that when you're driving on the freeway in your car and you might have a nail in your tire. Now, your car is not going to, the tire's not going to blow up as long as that nail's still there. But you just don't feel right. The car doesn't drive right. It kind of shimmies. It shakes a little bit. And you know that there's just something wrong, but you're just not sure. I feel this way about what's happening on this planet now. And a lot of people do. That, as you've just said, there's just something that's not right about what's going on, and we're smart enough to feel it.
Yeah, and what we need is someone to come along, using your analogy, George, and say, hey, have you had a look at your back tire? This is what the problem is. And that situation, symbolically, is information. The suppression of information through the mainstream media globally, not just in America, is not there because, hey, let's have a bit of fun here and keep this from the people. It's fundamental to the control, because if you constantly give people one version of possibility, possible reality, then, and you keep repeating it over and over, and this greatest form of mind control is repetition, then people are going to see the world in a certain way. They might feel instinctively, as we're talking about, something's not right, but they're only being given constantly, over and over again, one version of reality. I know from my experience over the years, when another possibility is brought in, people go, hold on a second, and it's very powerful in the way that it makes them rearrange their sense of reality. And this is why throughout history, all authorities, no matter what form or race or expression they've taken, have always seen visionaries as dangerous people. Because what visionaries do in all their different forms is put another version of reality out there so people can see that there is actually not only one version of possibility. And when you realize there's more than one version of possibility, well, how many more versions of possibility are there? And your mind starts to open, and you start to open yourself to things that before, with the closed-minded, one reality, everyone knows how things are kind of idea, you would have been closed to. And what's happening is, whether it's a vibrational change, I think it is, there is a alarm clock going off within people, and it's taking the expressions that we've talked about among vast numbers of people. Yes, there's something wrong, but increasingly that is being transferred among more and more people, from instinctively feeling something is wrong to beginning to understand through access to information why it's wrong and what is actually happening. And once you realize that the goal of this whole scenario is the centralization of global power and an Orwellian global state in which people, microchip people, would be under control from cradle to grave, then you start to realize why things are happening. For instance, if you think that people went into Iraq and caused that unbelievable slaughter because they wanted to free the Iraqi people from Saddam Hussein, or they wanted to make things good in Iraq, then you might look at Iraq and say, this is incredible. What a stupid thing to do. I mean, look, there's civil war now. Well, if you realize that they want civil war, they want to divide and rule the people of Iraq and the Muslim world in general by pushing the different factions against each other in war, then suddenly what's happening in Iraq is not incompetence. It is actually genius in terms of the outcome being achieved that they set out to achieve. But if you don't know the outcome they want, it can look a mess. It's not a mess to them.
It is, and you're right, it is genius, because they are doing, the globalists are doing what they want to do. How long do you think the plan was in the works for globalism.
Oh, it might sound extraordinary to people who are new to this, but thousands of years at least. One of the things I've charted in my books is a series of interbreeding bloodlines, which go under different names. I mean, the names change as they pass through history, but you can pick them up in ancient Babylon. You can follow them across from Babylon and the Babylonian Empire and the Babylonian religion. I mean, of course, this is why, if you look at the symbolism of this network, this Illuminati, the illuminated ones, illuminated into knowledge they keep from the rest of us, this is why it's all Babylonian symbolism, because this is the historical base that they're coming from. They moved out of Babylon to Rome, and that's when they created the Roman Empire and the Roman Church. And they then moved, of course, massively. Still, Rome is an extraordinarily important center to them. But they moved off into northern Europe, where they became the aristocracy and royal families, the royal family, in truth, of Europe. And then through the empires, particularly the British, the French too, and others, but particularly the British, they exported these bloodlines and the secret society network through which they manipulate themselves into power all over the world, to the Americas, to Australia, to Africa, and everywhere. Now, what then happened is apparently the colonial powers gave independence to the former colonies, like what became the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But what actually happened was it was a sleight of hand. They just moved from in-your-face dictatorship, colonial rule. The people of the American colonies knew they were controlled from Britain. But they then move from that form of control, which has a finite life because people will eventually rebel against control that they can see. But they moved it to hidden hand control, control you can't see. So although they apparently gave independence to the American colonies and these other colonies around the world, they left out there the bloodlines under different names and the secret society network they operate through, and they've gone on controlling those countries ever since. The only difference is, and it's a key difference, is it's hidden behind the facade and the masquerade of democratic freedom. But the strings are being pulled by the few. I mean, anyone believes that George Bush is actually calling the shots. He's a puppet. Like, if you're actually in a position of power that you can see, touch, and taste, like prime minister, president, or head of the Federal Reserve, whatever, you're still a puppet. The real power never puts itself on public display. It works through the expendable people in the end that are in the positions of apparent power, but that's all it is, apparent power. So these guys stay in office, stay in power, get the privileges of power so long as they dance to the tune and sing from the song sheet. Once they cease to do that, then they're removed in various ways.
Well, and see, and I think that's one thing that John F. Kennedy faced, and maybe he was starting to rebel.
Quite possibly. There were many strands around Kennedy at the time that made him very expendable to them. And it's not just assassination. It's also creating economic collapse, economic problems, which cause people to be removed by apparently the people at elections. And the classic, George, example of this was Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was put into power in 1979 in Britain, a year before Ronald Reagan and, in truth, President George Father Bush were put in power in America. And what happened was, just by coincidence, nothing to worry about, is through that period of the 80s, they stayed in power, and we had Thatcherism on this side of the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Reaganomics in your country, which were mirror economic theories and policies. And there came a point, and Margaret Thatcher was not put into power knowingly manipulating. One of the ways that they do this is they'll take someone who naturally wants to introduce various policies, economic policies, whatever, and they'll just put them into power and manipulate them around the scenes. Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, was one of the most manipulated prime ministers in history. not least by her foreign secretary, a guy called Lord Carrington.
Did she even know what was happening to her?
No, no. They think they're in power. They believe their own publicity. Now, what came, and Lord Carrington, I was just going to say, was the head of the Bilderberg Group, this Illuminati strand in the web that manipulates so much in Europe in particular, but globally too. And once she became expendable, because she was starting to speak very vehemently against more centralization of power in the European Union and more sovereignty and laws and power being given from Britain to Europe, there was an article in one of the alternative newspapers in America in the late 80s, which said that there'd been a meeting of the Bilderberg Group in Sweden, I think it was, and they decided that Margaret Thatcher was now to be removed because she was becoming a problem, not an asset. And within a year, the Iron Lady was removed, not even by the people of Britain, but by her own party. And when you look back to the time of that Bilderberg Group, you can see that very soon after that meeting, there was a complete sea change of attitude to Margaret Thatcher in the British media, which had always slavishly supported her up to that point. And suddenly she started being criticized, being undermined, and eventually she's removed. So these things are going on all the time. And one kind of important point to make about the way the political system is manipulated, what you find is no matter what the opposition party says in opposition, when it gets into government, it does basically what the government it's replaced has done. And this is one of the ways that we are manipulated to believe that we live in a free and open democratic society. What they do is they will have one party in power for a certain time, and it will carry out certain policies. The other party will often criticize those policies. And then we have this farce called an election. The opposition party becomes the government. And now the policies that it criticized in opposition, it continues to introduce and support in government. So the key thing is, whichever party's in government, the same things unfold. And once you start to realize this, you can see that apart from on the surface, apart from in theory, we are all living in one-party states. But we're given the idea that we have choice because we're allowed to vote every few years. And we shouldn't confuse the right to vote with the right to choose because they're not the same thing.
You're absolutely right. It's like voting.
We have a guy, George, here, Tony Blair. You know when he's lying because his lips are moving. If he ever told the truth, it'd self-explode and self-destruct. And he has total power in this country, basically, on 36% of the vote. And this is called a democracy.
True. And did he not say in Australia he's not going to run anymore? What's going on with that?
Well, this is a good example, George, of exactly what I've just been talking about. Because we have a situation where Blair has said that he's going to stand down at some point before the next election. However, he will be replaced in the Labour Party, his party, the governing party currently, by a man called Gordon Brown, who is currently the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And he will continue exactly the same policies in terms of centralization and all the rest of it as Blair. And should it go to the opposition Conservative Party, they have just elected a leader called David Cameron, who, if you didn't see his face, you would think it was Tony Blair.
Stay with us. David Icke, our guest, will be back next hour. We'll open up the phone lines on Coast to Coast AM. David, you've done some work in the arena of magnetic frequency attacks on people. We get a lot of phone calls from people who claim that they think they're being bombarded. And, you know, at the face of it, you sit back and go, oh, come on, that's preposterous. But a lot of these people are pretty convincing that something's going on. What have you discovered?
Oh, I think it's definitely going on. The thing is that once you start to, again, understand we're into information, if you are putting together your perception of reality, what are you doing it on? You're doing it on the basis of information that you have access to. So when you suppress information, you suppress people's perception of possibility. And once you start to realize how the body works, what the body is, and how the brain works and what the brain is, suddenly you can start to understand the effect and the power of magnetic fields on not just the human body, but human thought and human emotion. I wrote an article in my newsletter about a month ago about the connection between mobile phone masts and a system we are having forced upon the emergency services, police, etc., in Britain, called Tetra, which there are different versions of it around the world. And what these, I've got one, funnily enough, I've got a Tetra mast about 100 yards from where I'm speaking. And what they do is they're putting out frequencies in the same frequency band as human brain waves. And what is happening is that people are getting sick because it is scrambling the balance of the electrochemical signals going around the brain. Once you scramble that, suddenly anything's possible. It's going to manifest in emotional problems. People get really depressed. It's going to manifest in not being able to think straight. It's going to manifest in physical dis-ease, disharmony. And what is happening, George, is that we are being bombarded on so many fronts to scramble our ability to be physically, mentally, and emotionally balanced and healthy. And it's coming from many sources, not just electromagnetic fields, but that is one of them. Not just from Tetra masts and mobile phone masts, etc., but also through the things in our food. When you look at things like aspartame, this sweetener, the best word I can use for it on a family show, which was introduced by the manipulation of Donald Rumsfeld when he was head of Searle Pharmaceuticals, which sold out to Monsanto at a vast profit. When you look at mobile phone frequencies, when you look at fluoride in the water, they have a common theme, and that is they are what scientists call excitotoxins. In other words, they excite the brain cells so they stop functioning. This is what mercury in vaccines does. It affects the electrical messages going around the brain, and therefore it's affecting the communication on mental, emotional, and physical levels from the brain and the body and on all these other levels. So it's not being done by accident, it's being done by design so that we operate on a fraction of our full and true potential to think straight, to be emotionally balanced, and to be healthy. So, I'm sure people, some people imagine they're being attacked when they're not, but are some people attacked? Absolutely they are. And the electromagnetic attack is very, very powerful way of scrambling people. And it's done on many levels in many ways.
David, sounds like they're trying to cover all the bases on this.
Well, this is people can get into the mode where they're always saying things that are not very pleasant, not very nice. And those things need to come out so we understand what the game is. But it's also, ironically, what I've just said is extremely positive in this sense. They are having to attack us on so many levels, in so many ways, because we are multidimensional genius. We have forgotten that. We have forgotten the power we have. But just look at how much has to be done to suppress us, how it has to be done constantly in so many different ways. I've used this analogy before. I think it sums up the situation. Our natural state is one of brilliance. It is one of balance. It is one of harmony. Mm-hmm. It is one of love. That is our natural state. What we are seeing when people say, it's human nature, mate. You can't change human nature. Well, the nature of the human that we're seeing is the nature of a manipulated, suppressed, and imbalanced human. And that is the outcome of what's being done to us. If you take this analogy of a ball in a tank of water, its natural state is to float on the top.
Right.
To keep it in its unnatural state, George, on the bottom, you have to push it down and you have to hold it there. You can't let it go. You have to keep holding it constantly. Because once you let it go, whoop, it's back to its natural state. And in the same way, we are being attacked and targeted on all these different levels. Microchipping is the big jewel in the crown of this that they want. And they are having to do this because symbolically they have to hold us, the ball, on the bottom of the tank in our unnatural state, and they can't turn off the pressure, if you like, because bang, we'll awaken to the true nature of who we are.
Because so, the minute you let go of that ball, as you said, it explodes to the surface.
Exactly, and because it's what we call waking up. People have woken up. And what have they woken up from? They've woken up from a hypnotic trance, because that's what the human race is in. A hypnotic trance, a false reality, a false sense of reality, which we are living, because that is the reality that's being fed to us. And if you want to get into that, I can talk at length about how this is done and what this reality is that we're actually being falsely connected to. But the thing is that when people wake up, all that pressure just gets cast aside. Suddenly, bang, yes, I can see it now. Despite what they put in the food, despite the Tetra mask, despite the mobile phone mask, despite all this other stuff, I can see it now. And that is the spark that we need to get out there, information, so that people can, because once they switch on, then all these things, it's like just shaking the flies off an elephant's back once you open up to the true magnitude of who we are. But while we're in the box, while we're in the trance, we are disconnected from our multidimensional infinite genius and power, and therefore we're a manipulator's party trick. Waking up from the hypnotic trance is the revolution.
David, I want to get your take on a couple things that have driven us crazy here in the United States, and of course part of it includes the company in England, the DP World's takeover of the London-based company Peninsular. And then also at the same time, now they we're told that they're going to sell the leases to those U.S. ports and that they're not going to run them. This is Dubai company. We'll see what happens there. But the other thing that just happened last week that we uncovered was the fact that our administration has signed a no-bid contract with a Chinese company called Hutchison Whampoa to monitor nuclear objects that may be shipped to the United States. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, George, this is a very synchronistic chat we're having tonight, because we go back to what I was talking about at the start. What something can seem incredibly stupid and bizarre if you don't have the coordinate of knowing what the goal is. The goal is a globally centralized state with a world government, world central bank, world army, world currency, microchip population connected to a global computer. That is the goal. Now, to do that, you have to destroy nations, because, and particularly, you have to destroy superpowers. Because if you have superpowers in the world, the centralized world government cannot dictate to a superpower that has the military economic might to say, excuse me, not doing it, okay, go away.
Yes.
So you need to destroy all power that can confront your power, the power that you want to centrally control. So America is being systematically destroyed. Commercially, economically, militarily, to that end. I've been talking about this for a decade, that this was coming, and now we're seeing it. So what is bizarre to us, like the contract with the Chinese military, in effect, is connected to the fact that they sold off the Long Beach deep sea port to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre. I mean, here we have a situation where people like Rumsfeld and others are saying, "Oh, China military buildup and all this stuff." That's because that's another scenario they want. It's leading to a conflict with China. I've been talking about this for a decade. This is where it's leading, and now we're seeing the Pentagon announcing that they're changing their military operations to look at a possible conflict with China. I've been talking about this for a decade and writing about it, that this was a big part of the agenda and where it was leading. They want a third world war, out of which they will say, to stop this ever happening again, we need to have a world government and centralization of control to stop these this conflict on this scale ever happening again. It is a global version of what happened, another global version of what happened after the Second World War, when they said, to stop this happening again, we must have, and in came the United Nations, in came the Bretton Woods agreements, and all these centralizations of global power that happened as a result of the Second World War. So the stuff that you've talked about, which is selling America's assets to forces outside of America, so that America increasingly, by the day, by the week, ceases to have more and more control over its own internal destiny. Control is being given away more and more and more to outside forces. That's absolutely in line, George, with the agenda I've been writing about for 10 years, over 16 years, actually.
And add to that now also what we're seeing, and that's a massive influx of illegal immigrants into the United States, and no one is doing anything about.
Well, let me talk about this, George, because this again fundamentally connects into what I've been talking about. We've got the same situation in Europe, where borders have come down as a result of the European Union, and the same things happening. Now, when you talk about this stuff, people can say, racist, racist. Well, there are some racists around. There are. I mean, let's not hide it. And they're not all white either. There are racists in all different races. But,
sure.
But if we look at the big picture here, it is not about saying, from my point of view, what about these foreigners? We don't want these foreigners here. I mean, look at the American nation. I mean, it is a wonderful, glorious combination of peoples from all over the world. That's what America is, and it's something to be celebrated. And it's the same situation with guns. I don't have a gun. I wouldn't use a gun. I don't want a gun, all the rest of it. But instead of saying, oh, it's them gun owners, they're quite right, get rid of the guns, we need to take a step back, and we need to say, hold on, deep breath, take a step back, look at it again, big picture. Why are they trying to get rid of guns in public ownership in America? Why, all over the world, is this thing about immigration, people pouring into different countries, all the rest of it, going on? It is because whether we support countries and nationhood, I mean, I don't consider myself as British. I had to be born on a piece of land, otherwise I would have drowned. And I was actually born on a piece of land that's called Britain. You know, I don't see myself as British. I am infinite consciousness, like we all are. I just having an experience on this piece of land. But the point is that countries and the sense of nationhood is a bulwark against centralization of global power and the removal of sovereign choice within smaller areas of the world, instead of it being dictated to everyone from a central point. Therefore, nationhood and a sense of nationhood, a sense of unique culture, has to go to bring about this global society. Not based on cooperation, I'm all for that, but based on centralization of control. So when you start to connect the dots, and if I'm making any contribution to this, it is to connect dots, because, you know, it's like looking at a piece of paper. There's dots all over it, and each individual dot might be interesting in itself, but when the dots are connected, wow, I can see the picture now.
You see the picture, right.
So all these things we're talking about, George, the immigration across borders where nothing, no one's doing anything about it, the contracts being given to the Chinese, the contracts being given for control of ports to foreign forces outside control of the country, all these things are connected to the same goal. That's what we must understand, what the goal is: centralization of power and the end of power to the people. in terms of units of sovereign states or communities to a centralizational dictatorship, which is what they're heading for very, very fast.
I want David Icke to look into his crystal ball and tell us what he sees for the future of this planet.
What I see sitting here now is a massive fork in the road. If we keep going on the road that we're on now, we will live in a global fascist state within a few short years, and our children, indeed, and it's not just about our children, the time scale is not shorter than that, but they will live in this for longer than we will. It will be a centralized Orwellian nightmare. If we get off our backsides, more importantly, George, we get off our knees and start to address this and start to open our minds and break the concrete rigidity from our thoughts and possibilities and sense of perception, then we can transform this apparent inevitable outcome into something very, very different. Because we, the people as a whole, are the system that is controlling us. If we don't cooperate with it, there is no system. And when people say to me that they're a law-abiding citizen, well, that's very nice, but hold on a second. What? You're an abider of every law? I mean, if we're going to be law-abiding citizens, we might as well give up. Because what it means is laws are going to be passed by corrupt politicians that merely become law because there's enough hands in the air or some diktat is signed by the president. And then we have to abide by those laws, even though they're taking our freedoms away by the day. No, no. We need to stop cooperating with the laws that are there not to make society a better and a nicer place to live. They are there to control, to impose, to dictate, to take freedoms away. We have to stand up and say, enough, we're not having it. And if enough people do that, I mean, what would happen, George, if someone comes out the White House or Downing Street or wherever and says, we've had a discussion, this is what we've decided to do, this is going to happen. What would happen if the people as a whole said, sorry, mate, no way, not doing
That's right.
it.
That's right. Not going to happen.
Power.
They have no power.
Divide
Stay with
and
us.
Rule. I tell you what would change the world. People doing what they know to be right instead of doing what they think is right for them in the moment. That would
Good
transform
point.
It.
Good point. David Icke, our guest. We'll be back with David Icke. We'll take your phone calls with him next on Coast to Coast. And welcome to Coast. David Icke, our guest. We'll take your phone calls as well. David, you're still doing a lot of traveling these days.
I'm making the information travel more, to be honest. I've just done a couple of Discovery Channel documentaries about the nature of reality. I'm doing this mainstream, television documentary about my work and what was said in the past and what is happening now. But I am speaking in London on May the 6th all day. There's going to be 2,500 people there. What an indication of the way people are now beginning to wake up. When I first started doing this, George, all those years ago, I used to talk to a man and a dog. if I was lucky, I mean, the dog took more interest most of the time, but now 2,500 people are going to be there. And I'm also at Mount Shasta in the summer as well. Details on the website where I'm doing a weekend with a number of other people. But I reached the point, to be honest, where I was so exhausted from the traveling that I'm now getting the information to travel as much as I can, and it seems to be having a very good effect.
Good for you. Let's go to the phones. We'll go west of the Rockies, first of all. You're on with us with David Icke. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you?
This is Sherry in Bow, Washington.
Okay, Sherry, take it away.
Well, David, I'd like to have you address the nature of the hypnosis that you said they were putting us under. You said if asked, you would address that. And also, beg your pardon?
Go ahead, sorry.
Are these towers also less prevalent in the country? Is it advisable out of the cities and into the country?
First of all, in terms of the towers, Sherry, we have to connect dots. You can see mobile phone towers and tetramast towers and the HAARP operation in Alaska in isolation. Or you can see that they all connect, and you can connect them into the satellite system and all these other things. What they're doing is building like an electromagnetic fabric around the Earth to create an energy field, which is there to affect the way we think, the way we feel emotionally, and our physical health. And the microchips are the jewel in the crown, because part of their reason for being is to connect us in even more powerfully to this network of broadcasts, if you like. So that's one level, because, again, you can't see anything in isolation. There is a vibrational change going on. It's been predicted. I mean, I'm sure George has talked about these themes on the show so many times over the years that it's been prophesied by many, many cultures. My great friend Kreta Mutwa in the Zulu shamanistic stream in Africa talks about it. So do native peoples all around the world. And what we're seeing is an attempt by those who are seeking to continue to control is to head off that awakening and its effect on opening is up to breaking out of the hypnotic trance. So this is what they're trying to do. In many ways, it's not even about getting more power. The bottom line is holding on to the power they already have, because they know this awakening is coming, and this is all designed to suppress it, to stop it having the effect on the human psyche that it is going to have left to its own devices. In terms of the hypnosis, I've done a lot of research on this, and I, to be honest, we can talk about new world orders, and we can talk about the banking system and selling off ports, and that's all important stuff. But we're never going to turn this around until we understand how reality is created and how it's being manipulated so that we live a reality experience that suits those in power. Understanding how we create reality and how it can be manipulated is the key to freedom, because once you understand how it's created, we can create another one. At the moment, we're allowing it to be created for us in this way. We are filtering reality all the time. I mean, psychological research has shown this, on the basis of our belief in what is real. In other words, to quote one study, they said that up to and sometimes more than 50% of the information we receive is edited by the brain to fit in with our sense of what is real. And we can see this in the most simple experiments. Well, I've seen this in television programs where they put two people together who have a serious preconceived idea about each other. They get them to talk to each other, and they film it. They then take them aside as individuals, and they ask them what the other person said and how they said it. They then play the original chat back to them, and they are shocked because what they heard, and certainly the tone in which it was given, was nothing like what actually was said and how it was said. What has happened is the other person has spoken. It's entered the preconceived idea, the belief that that person has, the program about that person, and it has been edited to fit the belief of what they think that person is. Now, therefore, they are hearing certain words and tones which are not actually being said by the person. Now, that simple process is happening to us all the time. And what is a hypnotist doing, a stage hypnotist? I went to see a few stage hypnotist shows when I was researching my last book. What they're doing is they're implanting a false belief in reality into the stooge on the stage. They're saying to them, there's an elephant in the audience. They're saying to them, the person next to them is naked. They're saying to them that although they're eating a potato, it's actually an apple. And there's a great line in the Matrix movie where the first one, where the Neo character says, so what is real? And the Morpheus character says, well, if you're talking about what we can see, touch, taste, hear, feel, then real is just electrical signals interpreted by your brain. And that's what it is. What happens with the potato thing in the hypnotist stage show is that the electrical signal, which is what taste is, goes to the brain. And the brain reinterprets it to the taste of an apple, because that is what it has been programmed to believe it is actually tasting. Now, when you take that to the hypnotist in the corner of virtually every living room, the television, you take it to the hypnotist show we call education. We take it to the mainstream media that's pouring out a certain version of reality all the time. And then you've got one generation hypnotized to believe a certain reality, and they, through no malevolence, pass that programming and belief onto the next generation. All those things are programming the population with a perception, a belief in reality. And as a result, we then take information that comes into us, and then we edit it to fit the reality we've been hypnotized, if you like, to believe in. And this is why the term waking up, as people use when they suddenly start to get it, is so accurate. They are waking up from the trance. And people say, why didn't I get it before? It's so obvious. Well, why didn't the person on the stage get they were eating a potato and not an apple? Because they were programmed to believe otherwise. And that's what we're dealing with, George and Sherry. We're dealing with a global population that is hypnotized with this false reality. But we can break out of it if we take our power back, because we cannot be. I mean, you go to these stage shows, you know, and what they're doing when they're picking people out of the audience and going and looking at them, what the hypnotist is doing is picking out those that can be hypnotized easily and those that can't. And those that can't are asked to go back into the audience and watch the show. So we have the power not to be hypnotized on all these different levels, but we have to take it back.
David, have you heard that the Illuminati would love to reduce the population of the planet down to 500 million from its current 6 billion?
It's been a common theme. I don't know about precise numbers, George, but only they know what they would like. But to reduce the population is a common theme that's been coming up in the research ever since I started. And, you know, again, we go back to Africa. I mean, those communities are being decimated by AIDS. The human immune system is being attacked on multi levels. This is again coming back to what we talked about earlier. We cannot get cancer if the human immune system is in perfect working order.
I agree with you.
I've seen you've probably seen them too, George. I've seen shots of on films under a microscope of the immune system destroying cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of course. You get a rogue cell which doesn't reproduce properly, bingo, it's taken away and destroyed by the immune system. We get cancer when the immune system is overwhelmed or, and this is the point, undermined, so it's not acting and working on its optimum level. And the additives in food, the electromagnetic pollution, all these things that we've been talking about, not only have an effect on the body's health in general, it fundamentally affects the immune system on which the body's health and balance depends. So one of the ways they're aiming to bring this about is a undermining of the immune system, which is well underway.
You know, I've always believed that all of us are walking around with cancer cells. Doctors are beginning to believe that now. And just like you say, David, it's our immune system that keeps it in check.
Yeah, and it keeps so many things in check. You know, we have this thing about vaccines. We must vaccinate. It helps the immune system. Absolute rubbish. My son, Jamie, is 13. He has never had a vaccination in his life of any kind. He's never even had a single childhood disease. His mates have, who've been immunized, and he was given a health test about 6 months ago or so, and the practitioner who did the test said, this boy is the healthiest person I've ever tested. And so when people say in America, oh, you can't take your children to school if they haven't been vaccinated, what about the danger to my children? I say, what about the danger of your vaccinated child to mine? Far greater, darling. We're being undermined in all these different ways. And of course, again, through programming, people don't vaccinate their children because they want to harm them. they vaccinate them because they have been given the information,
yes,
the false reality, that it's good for them. You know, we just changed the law. I think it's similar in America. We're just changing the law that in April, just a little while from now, before the age of 18 months to 2 years, babies in this country will have had 25 vaccinations. I mean, the immune system's going to come out with its hands up, isn't it? It's going to say, what is going on here? You know, and so, again, we're being attacked in that way from a very early age to undermine our true magnificence and our true power. And we need to take power back and say, sorry, I'm not immunizing my child because I've looked at the information. I can see what the situation is. I'm not doing it. Oh, well, you can't take your – well, I'm not taking my child to school then. It's not happening. Standing up for it instead of saying, oh, well, I better do it then because it's simpler that way. Well, it's going for the simple way, going for the least line of resistance. Oh, we better do it. That's got us into this mess. We have to stand up and say enough. There's a line in the sand, not doing it anymore. And enough of us do it, it all comes down because we're holding it together by our acquiescence.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the line with David Icke. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Steve from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm the guy who remembers before he was born. The reason I'm calling is I have a quick question for David and a short story if there's time. Now, my question is, I'm of the understanding that the human brain operates at a frequency of 72 to 90 megahertz. And interestingly enough, the FM band begins at 87.5 megahertz. And so, David, my question to you is it possible that these FM radio frequencies are hindering our ability to maximize our potential?
Well, I don't know the frequencies of that specific case, but as a rule, anything, and really, you know, we have this phrase, the elephant in the living room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there are so many elephants in the living room, and we're saying, I can't see anything, where is it? Let's just take this on a real basic level. If you have a frequency of a radio station and there is some electrical equipment that is broadcasting on a similar frequency, what do you get on the radio? You get interference. You know, this is what happens. So anything that is operating within the frequency band of human brainwave activity has got to be interfering or have potential to interfere with the balance and the power of that brainwave activity. It has to. I mean, it's like, you know, there's the herd of elephants in the living room here now on this one. It's in the simple. When you get down to the simple, because what they do is they want to put complexity to hide the simple truth. And the simple truth is, of course, anything on a brainwave frequency is going to affect brainwave frequencies. Dead simple, absolutely.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with David Icke. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, thank
you.
This
is Tony calling from Mesa, Arizona. Hey, David, you are one of my favorite guests. This is actually probably the best show, George, you've had. And people really need to listen up to what you got to say because everything you've talked about tonight is absolutely true. And I wanted to see if you can get into the Luciferian aspect of this whole control thing that the government's got going. Is there a Luciferian aspect to it?
You mean the satanic aspect to it?
Absolutely. I mean, I personally believe this is being set up for Lucifer to come in, you know, the next couple years, the whole control thing.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've been talking about and writing about over the years, which has got me a lot of a ridicule, but, you know, who cares? I mean, they ridiculed those that said the Earth was round once, is the fact that what we see is the people in power, even those with the real power in the five-sense reality that you never see behind the scenes, they are all vehicles for a force that is actually beyond this dimension or reality that we call the physical world. You know, when people look through their eyes and it appears that we're seeing everything in the space we're looking at. No, we're seeing a tiny, tiny frequency range which is a visible light. And that is a fraction even of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is itself a tiny, tiny fraction of what is projected to exist in the universe in terms of matter mass. So we, as one writer said, are basically blind. And in the same space that we are appearing to see this reality is infinite or infinite worlds, infinite dimensions of life, which are interpenetrating the same space that we are perceiving. Just like radio stations and television stations broadcasting to the same space occupy the same space that my body is occupying now, but I can't see them, they can't see each other. I can only access them if I get a television or a radio and tune to that frequency. Then I get them. If I'm on Radio 1, I get Radio 1. If I move to Radio 2, I now get Radio 2. But Radio 1 hasn't ceased to broadcast, ceased to exist just because I've moved from it. It's just that I'm not tuned to it anymore. And when we come into this physical world and through this physical form we call the body, we lock in, tune in like a radio to a certain frequency band. And therefore, that becomes our apparent reality. But beyond that, are other realities, and in frequencies very close to this one, and able to some extent to interact with it, is a force that people use different names for: satanic forces, Luciferian forces, forces that are so deeply, deeply imbalanced they've lost all sense of love, empathy, light, however what you want to describe it.
We'll be back in a moment, David. Hold on, we got to take this break.
Yeah, I was just going to finish off, George, by saying that these deeply, deeply imbalanced forces that are operating in a frequency range just outside of the human five sense range, they're the forces that the quote Satanists and such people interact with when they're doing their rituals. You know, I know you've talked about on the show Bohemian Grove. In Northern California, where elite go and do their funny rituals, but all around the world, in my research over the last 1.5 decades, I keep coming up with this whole recurring theme as I document my books of the elite, those in power. The people we see on CNN and the news every day taking part in these satanic, often human sacrifice rituals. And what they're doing is they're interacting with the forces that actually possess them. I mean, this age-old thing about possession, it's true. These forces can possess the mental, emotional, or lack of emotional faculties of these people, and in effect, these people just become vehicles for them. And if you look in the eyes of people like Tony Blair, you can see it. You can see, and I tell you what, just a quick story. I had an experience a few years ago now, actually before I got into any of this stuff, George, with a former Prime Minister of Britain called Ted Heath. He was Prime Minister from 1970 to 74, and he was the man that took us into what is now the European Union. And he was on a television show that I was on. He'd been on it before, and he was in the makeup room having makeup taken off, and I was led in the makeup room to have it put on to go into the studio to do the interview, and I was left alone with him. And I didn't see him when I first went in. I thought it was an empty room.
Yeah.
And I sat in the chair, and I turned to my right, and I saw him sitting there. He was looking at the mirror, and I said, "Hello, mate, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. I never met him before." And he turned his head, and like I say, I was not into any of this stuff. But he turned his head, not his body, and he looked at me. And he never said a word at any point in the entire interchange. His eyes then moved and to the top of my head. Not his face did move, just his eyes. And then his eyes went slowly down my body to my feet and then went back again to the top of my head, and then he turned and looked at the mirror. It was like he was scanning me. That's all I can describe. The point is, though, that while he was doing this and I looked into his eyes, all of his eyes went, both of them went black. Not just the pupil or the color, the whites, everything went black. And when you look into someone's eyes, I made eye contact.
Sure.
There is a point where you make a contact when you look in somebody's eyes. Not this time. What I would say now is that I was looking through him into another dimension. I was looking at, like, into two black holes. There was no point where there was any contact. It just went on and on and on. And, of course, I came back to my family that night, not knowing any of this stuff. I went, God, my goodness, you'll never believe the experience I've had with Ted East tonight. But now I understand what I was looking at. And I saw this with another British politician, too, before I got into understanding what it was all about. And so when they talk about sacrifices to the gods in history, what the sacrifice is a release of terror, fear, energy in the sacrificial victim, which these people feed off on their dimension. They feed off this energy of fear and terror that is, of course, heightened by the way the ritual is built up to get more and more terror from the victim. And, of course, when you're talking about wars and conflict, imagine the energy of fear and terror that is pouring out of Iraq now, the former Babylon, of course, the former Sumer. Which these entities and forces in these other dimensions feed off. And so we've in the first Matrix movie, the Morpheus character held up a battery and said they have turned the human race into one of these. In effect, that's a large part of what's happening. The more fear, the more terror, the more low vibrational emotion, the more it's lunch, if you like, for these forces that feed off us. And so the whole satanic thing is very much part of it, and part of what these people are answerable to. And that's why they're so terrified not to do as they're told, because they answer to forces they're terrified of.
You know, what's interesting, too, is you were able to walk into a dressing room where your prime minister was. There's no way you could do that with our president. I mean, they'd have Secret Service all over the place.
Yeah, well, he was a former prime minister, to be fair. But even then, the point's still valid because, you know, I've had experiences with other presidents and what have you from the past, and they're always surrounded by people as well, or bodyguards and what have you. So it is valid, but that's the way it was here, but it's not anymore in terms of the way that the control and the security is being ratcheted up all the time.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Go ahead,
good.
Sir.
This is Gene from Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay, Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hey, how you guys doing? I've been pondering what would happen if we as Americans were to completely vote out the Republicans and Democrats. Would they go quietly, or would the real agenda of the Illuminati or powers that be become apparent and turn this into an instant military state?
Well, there is an ideal, and then there is a fallback position, I would suggest. The ideal is that the people can continue to be fooled into believing that they live in a democratic free society. That's the ideal, because then the people just are no problem. They just get on with it and leave the forces of manipulation to manipulate at will. When the people say no on the kind of scale you're talking about, then the forces of control will want to hold on to control as best they can. One of the things that's come up in my research over the years is a major series of terrorist events which lead to a situation where the democratic process is suspended, quote, on the basis of meeting the threat of terrorists, and that would be a military state. When you see how far it's gone now, imagine if there was a nuclear device that went off somewhere in America, or some other grotesque terrorist event, engineered terrorist event, then imagine how much further the control and the military involvement in domestic law enforcement would increase. That's what the aim is. It's to get rid of the whole democratic process. In fact, on that subject, what's happening in Britain now, staggeringly but true, is a bill is going through Parliament. It's called the Legislative and Regulatory Reform Bill. It's a really boring title. But what it does is give power to the Prime Minister and ministers to change any law they choose, to introduce any law they choose without any parliamentary debate or any democratic consultation.
Dangerous.
And the only limits is they can't change laws that affect taxation, and they cannot impose laws that have a prison sentence of more than 2 years. Anything else, that they get the power to do it. It's been called by one professor here the abolition of Parliament bill. That's how far it's going, and that's where they really want to go.
Dangerous. How do the Brits feel about all this, David? How do they feel about things you talk about? I mean, if you were to take a poll, are they favoring the things you say, or are they opposed to it?
Well, when you get people talking, then they are very open to it. I've been staggered by the sea change in consciousness, if you like, in this country, in terms of people being open to what's going on. You know, my son's in a band, a lead singer in a band, and he's on a tour of Britain at the moment. And I talk to him every few days, and he's saying, you know, wherever I go, because people know that he's my son, people are coming up and saying, crikey, I'm lovely to meet you. I love what your dad's doing. I couldn't agree more with what's going on in the world. And this kind of feedback, you start to think, oh, crikey, more and more people out there are aware than you would know. And it's the same in America. You know, there is this idea over here among many people that Americans are basically in favor of what's going on in Iraq in general, in favor of what's going on in terms of the Bush administration. And I know every time I come there, I can't find anyone who supports it. There are some, obviously, but there are enormous numbers who don't. But they don't get a hearing. They're not the ones that get access to the mainstream media. It's the people that support the system and repeat the system that are in the public eye. And this is why what people like Charlie Sheen have done is absolutely fantastic. The reason that CNN's poll about what Charlie Sheen said, I think, ended up with 83% in favor.
Actually, it closed to 85%.
85%. Well, it just shows out there how many people are now part of what I called right at the start of this chat, George, the tinderbox of something's not right in the world. It's not right. I'm not buying this anymore. And so it's a very, very exciting time. What we need to do is harness that mentality, harness that change of reality, and turn it into non-cooperation with the system so the few can't control the many, because they can't unless the many cooperate with them.
So true. Wildcard Line, your turn with David Icke. Hi there.
Hello, this is John from Kenai, Alaska.
Okay,
I'm listening on AM 650 KENI, and I just have a couple of quick comments to make. One of them, something I've believed in for a long time, is that a true democracy is an educated and armed mob. And I think it's unfortunate, but I think it's going to come to that in order to take our country back. You know, reflecting back to the movie Red Dawn, I think that's very close to what's going to end up happening. And then I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Civil war, revolution within. Sad, but it may be what's going to happen, David.
What that will do, I mean, it depends, George, what level of this we're looking at or observing from. If you're observing from the level of these what I will term demonic forces that are feeding off human misery through the energy it produces and human conflict, then a civil war is another banquet. From their point of view, great, hey, yeah, let's have some of that. I mean, imagine the energy that's being fed out of Iraq by the civil war that's unfolding there. I would suggest to see this from a much, much higher level. And if we're going to change this world from a prison to a paradise, then we have to start operating ourselves on the basis of what creates a paradise instead of what further accentuates the prison and the nightmare. And that is not taking up arms. I mean, can you imagine with the technology they have now what would happen to an armed mob? Trying to attack some of these people. The greatest form of bringing the system down is to stop holding it up. That's simple, because we're doing that every day. If we stop cooperating with the system, if we stopped obeying these laws of control en masse, then the system collapses because it depends on our acquiescence. Once we take that away, it's like a story I tell, a friend of mine, a comedian friend, who told a story of how he was doing a stage show. And the end of the show was all the men came on dressed as sailors, and they formed a pyramid on the stage. And he was then manhandled up the pyramid to the top, dressed as Britannia, for the big finale. And he says that one night, one of the guys in the bottom left-hand corner of this human pyramid got a cough. And it got a serious cough, and eventually he was coughing his insides up, and he couldn't stay in the pyramid, and he stepped out of it because of his state. And what happened to the pyramid, and symbolically the person at the peak, the elite, my friend, it collapsed, and he ended up in the second row in someone's lap. And just because someone who was apparently insignificant, just one of the dancers, the players in the bottom left-hand corner of the pyramid, had got a cough and stepped out of it. We are holding the pyramid up. They are only at the pyramid peak because we are holding the pyramid peak where it is. We need to walk away, and then we'll hear a very loud bang, and this system will collapse through lack of us holding it together. And that doesn't take violence. In fact, violence is absolutely the opposite. That underpins the pyramid. It is the very force and source of its power and its manipulation. Fear, violence, divide and rule. You know, love is the most powerful force in existence. Violence is the weakest. I know which one I'm going to choose.
Well, I agree with that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, I'm on?
Yeah, you're on, and I've got about a minute for you, so go ahead, sir.
Right. My name is Savento, and what I wanted to say to David, of course he's doing great work, and I love your show, George, is that we are not humans. And all of the things that they put on us, like he was saying, hypnotized, we've been hypnotized to think that we are humans, but we are not. Humans are basically tools. The word man basically means hand. And we've been totally bombasted with all types of, I mean, from not just recently, but for years and years and years. What we are and what we're supposed to be are sapiens.
What's the difference?
Well, a sapien is a clear, spiritual, wise-thinking individual that's connected with everyone else through love and information and intelligence, true intelligence.
That's a little bit about what you were saying, David.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we all use different language, but I couldn't agree more. We are infinite consciousness. We are not even a part of the infinite consciousness. We are the infinite consciousness. Every drop of water in an ocean is itself the ocean because it's connected to every other droplet. And what we've been manipulated to do is identify who we are with the biological computer we call the body and the personality that we think we are. We are not David Icke. We're not George Nuri. They are experiences this infinite consciousness is having. We are all that exists. We are not who we think we are. We are infinitely greater. And while we identify with who we are as the name and the biological computer, we will think small instead of thinking infinite consciousness, infinite genius, because that's what we really are. And when we realize that and start expressing it, well, I'll use the phrase again, the Illuminati are like flies on the dog on the back of a dog to be shaken away at will. That's the revolution.
David, we're out of time. I want to thank you again for spending your moments with us, my friend. You take care of yourself.
Pleasure, George. Thanks, mate. Bye.
David Icke, live in the United Kingdom, the most sought-after guest on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galati, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.